to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. Welcome home. You are back here on the Edge with April Mahoney and Carolina LeBlec, PhD. She is a life and high-performance coach as well as a behavioral therapist who specializes in supporting mothers and teenagers of all things to reach their full potential, reduce stress, and live more balanced lives. We could all use that. As the owner and creator of the Help to Grow Institute, Carolina, she provides individual sessions, group coaching, and training workshops. Her model is about finding your big why and then taking consistent action while eliminating distractions along the way. This brings balance and tranquility to our lives. I can't wait to hear what she has to say. That's so valuable. And I'm really impressed at the fact that she's found a niche working with teenagers. People don't really kind of understand the stress and the trauma that they go through. So without further ado, we want to welcome Carolina LeBlec to On the Edge. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here with us. You know, talking to you and vibing with you a few weeks ago really, really sparked my interest about the work that you do. You really do some deep dive, and you had a great aha moment. Can you share with my brains a little bit more about your training and experience? You're so smart. You're such a brain. And we want to hear a little bit about that, and then we want to hear about your aha moment.
Well, thank you for the brain part. I always was a brainiac. So I've trained as a psychologist in Europe, and then I did my PhD actually on autism and therapeutic riding and more of the body-mind connection. And so I was working with, you know, autism population, training trainers and doing stuff like that. And somewhere in 2010, I also started to do a lot of life coaching and, you know, weight loss and wellness for women and all of that. And then the little aha happened. So the aha moment was more of the oops moment. As you said, I'm a brainiac, so I actually proud myself on, you know, studying and being focused and doing all of that. Well, I was driving to one of my clients, and someone didn't believe in physics, decided they can spit on ice, and basically 360 into my car. So I was in a head-on collision at pretty high speeds, over 15 an hour. So, you know, I came out pretty okay, all things considered. The car did what the car supposed to do. Nothing broken, only a concussion and only a whiplash. And I'm saying this with a sarcasm because this only concussion left me with a scrambled brain for almost a year and a half. The whiplash left me with huge balance issues and some really, really deep issues, things like executive functioning, which is basically being able to do daily tasks. Like I had my two-year-old telling me, "Mommy, you're cooking something and it's boiling," because I didn't focus and if I didn't have it in front of me, I would forget about it. I couldn't focus for longer than 20 minutes. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. I actually lost English, interestingly. It took me a while to get my speech back. I lost handwriting. And my aha moment was that, you know, I always was a therapist and I always was an educator, but I've never experienced how it is to be on the other side. And I did experience how to be on the other side, and I think that made me way more effective as a therapist and as a life coach, because I understand the struggle that people go through if their brain is not exactly wired how it's supposed to be wired at the given moment. I'm back to normal. I'm back to full, you know, functionality, almost full. There are still some things I have to pay attention to. But, you know, I refocused after that on helping people to achieve the full potential of no matter of what the situation is, because I did have to step back, put aside all the therapies that I was in, which was speech, OT, physical, and actually use the tools that I had on myself. And they effective tools, and they work. So that's what I share now with women, and that's what I share with teenagers as well.
You know, let me ask you a little bit about, because you did mention autism. It's so many different spectrums and so many different ranges and variations that people experience when they are autistic. But young people, teenagers, they have a specific challenge. You know, they're going through the adolescence, they're going through the body changing, they're going through the bullying in school. What do you incorporate in your teaching, in your work with them, that really kind of helps them thrust forward? Can you give our parents a couple great ideas to work with? My niece works with autistic children, and it's very, very challenging for her as well, you know, especially going into the high schools. What do you offer?
Well, first of all, I would like everyone to understand, and I think this applies not only to autistic or ADHD or any other of the A's and D's. It applies
right.
to any child, any youth. I would say 99% of children are not doing things, and I don't care if they're 5-year-old or they're 15-year-old, to get on your nerves and to do it and despite you. They do things.
I don't mean
because,
to laugh, but they do. They get on your nerves.
they effectively get on your nerves, but they're not doing this on purpose to get, you know, they don't wake up every morning and say, how can I piss off my mom today?
Right,
you know,
right.
500
right.
ways to step on my parents' toe, you know, the new
right.
book for teenager. They don't. They really are trying to effectively, you know, deal with the things that they're dealing with. And they're dealing with a lot of things, with the social pressure, with the academic pressure, with everything else. And when they react the way they react, they don't do it because they want to get you angry or, you know, again, piss you off and on purpose. They do it because they don't have a better way of dealing with a given situation. And I think it extends to adults as well. Very often we do things not because, you know, we wake up and say, how can I screw up my life today, right?
Right.
We do things because we don't have a better tool to give, and we are reactive. And in the moment when we don't have a better tool, our brain switches us into that flight and fight response.
Right.
Which gives you the reaction that you get. Either someone, you know, a teenager running into the room and shutting the door, which is a typical flight response. I don't want to deal with you, I'm just going to go. Or they get in your face, they cuss, they do all that stuff. Adults do the same thing. You know, hang up on the
right.
phone on the conversations that are important. Avoid the bills that they need to pay. You know, you're tripping over things in your room, but yet you kind of, you know... not dealing with it because you don't have the tools to deal with it.
Right.
Not because you don't want to deal with it, or you've tried many things, you know, and people tell you, why don't you get your, you know what, together?
Mm-hmm.
And you are an adult, you should do this. Why don't you do this? When in reality, so that only puts you down. So why try, right? I failed 5,000 times. How is this one going to be different?
Right.
Right. You know, I'm supposed to, I'm 20, I teach at the college as well, so I work with that population 19 to 25-ish on average, and, you know, I failed 5 times, why should I try again? I was never good at reading, why should I be better at reading now? I cannot write, why should I write?
So when you work with these, with this population, you really kind of help them create a toolbox with different options, different choices, looking at things in different perspectives, different exercises. Those are really what they incorporate in their life so that it helps them to thrust ahead to the next chapter of their life. Is that correct?
Yes. And interestingly, the tools that I've developed, it's a combination of tools from different aspects of my training, which is both behavioral-like and So it's behavioral psychology, it's also ACT, and it's also executive functioning, and then a lot of sensory stuff from my physical therapy training. So it doesn't matter, and I say it totally, it's totally true for me. Right now I have clients from 15 to 76 at this point, both men and women, also my groups do focus on women. And it doesn't matter what your diagnosis is. It gives me some information, but the process is similar. We look at what your strengths are. We look what your weaknesses are. We look at what you want out of life, and we figure out how to get there. So my programs mostly focus on stress management, anxiety management, and how to improve your functioning. Whatever the fancy word is, the fancy clinical word is executive functions. It has nothing to do with executives in business. It's basically
right.
Functions that are run by your frontal cortex, by your, chief master of planning and what's not. So I focus on those. And combining all of that, we get you into the point when things get a little progressively easier. Now, this is not a magical wand. I don't tell you that you're going to jump on a call with me and I will fix all your life problems in 60 minutes. It's
right,
a process.
Right.
But it's an effective
right.
process, and it's a science-based process.
And so what you've been able to do is encapsulate a lot of that in your book, Never Giving Up. Is that a combination of your training, your philosophy, your work with these youths, and also your life experience?
Yes, so this is my new book. This is my second book, actually, that I'm publishing. My first one was on autism and horses. And it's not out yet. I'm hoping to have it out by the end of this year. We'll see how that goes. Publishing process can be messy. So this book is actually about the process. And it is written from my personal perspective. It's not, it's not the scientific overview or of the techniques. It is a story of my journey of how things that happened to me affected me and how my perspective has changed both as a clinician and as a coach.
Well, that's wonderful. That's an easy read. Sometimes, we can talk to big brains like yourself and get caught in all of the big $25 words and really lose sight of what we're trying to grab hold to. So I'm glad that you have really taken the time to extract that and break it down so that anyone can read it and they can learn from it. You have a very interesting hobby, something that I have always wanted to do, fencing. Tell my brains how you got started
yes.
fencing, of all things.
How have I started fencing? So when I was teeny little, not so teeny little, but somewhere probably when I was 9 years old, probably about that time, I've discovered something else than fencing that incorporates fencing, and that is called modern pentathlon. So in fourth grade, my parents signed me up. In Europe, it's a little different. I'm Polish. I grew up in Poland, although I live in States, into a sports school with modern pentathlon in the program. And the first 2 years, it's just swimming and running, and then they add fencing and they add horses and gun shooting later on. I've never sticked with the modern pentathlon, mostly because I cannot run unless the pack of white wolf is chasing me, and even then I'm not too fast. So I switched, and I've done fencing. So I started fencing in sixth grade. I stopped in eighth because of an injury, and when I come back to States, actually, out of all the things in my local small town, there is a fencing club, which I love, and I coach there now, and I don't compete anymore, but that's one of the things that this car did to me is that my neurologist frowns upon me getting hit on the head, and my choice of weapon is an epe. So I don't compete, but I do coach beginner lessons, and I have fun with it, and yeah, so that's one of my crazy hobbies that I kind of incorporate into my crazy life.
Well, you know what? I admire it because it takes stamina. It takes a lot of focus. It is also combative, but it's also a defense mechanism. So I have always admired people that had done fencing, and I think I'm going to do that. I think you've encouraged me to step out of my comfort zone. There's a fencing school not too far from my home, so I'm going to try that. So tell me a little bit about
The beauty of that sport is you can compete all the way through your 80s. They're actually veteran competitions, 4D plus, on international level even. So never too late. We start people as young as 7 years old, and I've had people as old as 60 in my classes. So
I'm not that old and I'm not that young, but I'm definitely somewhere in between, and I'm going to go and try it. So your life and parental coaching, tell us a little bit about that. That's a very unique program. Is that a program that you work with the parents separately from the children to help them kind of get through their stuff? Because parents have stuff too. They always think that they know everything, you know, and do like I did. We cannot relive our lives vicariously through our children. We don't know everything. This is the 21st century. There's a whole lot going on with millennials and the upcoming Generation Z. What are you teaching your parents? How are you teaching them to manage?
So, well, if I'm working with teenagers, then I work with them individually, but I also check in with the parents. If they are underage, obviously they have to have a parental permission, and the client also allows me to share the information with the parent, right? It's all. So the things that I work with teenagers very often is social stuff, understanding the social aspects. It's also stress management, goal setting, prioritization, so all of those executive functioning stuff. And then with parents, it depends on the client. For example, I work with some of the children who are twice exceptional. What's a twice exceptional child? It's a child that is gifted, but also has some kind of a small underlying issue like ADHD or dyslexia or whatever. Very often, 2Es is gifted in ADHD just because the brain operates at such a high, you know, wide up. So you're talking about a 15-year-old who can function at the college level as far as intelligence goes, right? But emotionally and with life skills. So, for example, they can open a chapter, read it, pass a test, but for the life of them, they cannot turn their homework in. Mm. Or they will ask, why do I need to do this, when the teacher asks me when I know it? You know, the teenager stuff, right? The issue with them is that the teenager stuff is amplified, you know, so much by other things. So with kids like that, I usually work both with parent and a child, and we set up systems, you know, and also it's a myth that those children, you know, have it easy. They don't. They usually also don't feel socially because they're so much ahead of the pack that the conversations that their friends are having, you know, kind of bored them. I mean, if you think about an eighth grader hanging out with a fourth grader, there's a big difference, right?
Right.
So we set up systems, we talk about social skills. And for parents, I also teach them how to manage that. So how do I, you know, as a parent, how do I find myself in the situation? Because let's be honest, even that, you know, everyone says have children is awesome. I have two. It's awesome. But it's also stressful, physically exhausting and mentally exhausting. It's awesome. Right. But, you know, and your child is not a copy of you. Even if they look like a copy of you and they are similar to you, they have their own issues. They have their own ways, you know. And the life we live right now is so much different than the life even when I was growing up. You know, I'm the first generation that had internet, but I'm not the generation that, you know, every mistake I made was videotaped. Think about it. When you were like 12 or 15, was this a chance that when every mistake you made had a chance to land up on internet forever? You know, when your classmate, when you had an issue with one classmate, did the whole class up gang up after school on social media, you know, and it spread like a fire to people that you don't even know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Right. So we live in a totally different era, and our children to be so much more perfect than we were. Also, the education level is much higher, believe it or not. But my children are very young, 2 and 5, and what used to be first grade is basically now kindergarten. The entrance level to kindergarten, by the time you get to kindergarten, you are required to know your capital letters and count to 20 and write all of your capital letters and sign your name. And basically everyone reads getting out of kindergarten. Think about that for a second. We're talking about 5-year-olds.
Right.
And that only gets, you know, speed up. So I think the stress level of for everyone and the speed of our life amplifies. And that's what I help parents with. And that's what I help teenagers with. I also teach parents how to help their children in case of the younger children. I don't work directly with the younger children, especially not online, but I do teach parents how to, you know, in my one-on-ones. I also don't work with parents in group setting. I only work with women in group setting, or my teenagers and parent clients are individual.
Right. Well, that's a great segue. Can you tell us about your online program? And you have a very exciting offer for my brains. Can you share that with them as well?
Well, so there are two things for it. First of all, I believe in giving first. So there is a little gift from me for women on simplify, you know, 5 steps to simplify your life. It's totally free, and it's a PDF with 5 very fast, easy introduced things you can do right now. It's like literally one page. You can do them right now to simplify your life. However, it is followed by sequence of emails that you will be getting with more tips on those topics. So it's basically a month of free coaching from me. So that's my gift. And the program that I'm launching right now, and it's totally exciting because it's a brand new program. I'm launching a 360 Life Success Academy for women. And it is going to be online, totally online. It is only for women. Sorry, guys. Maybe in the future I will open up one for men, but the dynamics are a little different. And I do coach men, but the group program is just for women. And it is going to be focusing mostly on stress and anxiety management, and also on all of those functions as well. And because it is a group program, it is way more affordable than working with me one-on-one.
Right. Well, it's going to be worth every single penny because you are really pouring into some deep issues, some dark issues. Some people don't have options. They don't have choices. They're afraid. You're able to work with them from the comfort of their home and the computer. You work with them individually. You have options to work with them as a group. So I think that there's no reason why they shouldn't contact you. Take advantage of the 5 steps to simplifying your life. And tell us how to get in contact with you, Carolina.
So the best and the fastest, it may seem awkward, but the best and the fastest is through Facebook, through Messenger. I usually respond usually within an hour, unless obviously I'm doing some stuff, but within 24 hours for sure through Messenger. Also through my email, which is info@helptogrowinstitute.com. And, you know, you posted about me, so again, my Facebook page. That is probably the easiest way to reach out to me.
And how can they get a copy of your book?
The copy of my book, the new one, is not there yet. So I will remind you to post about it when it's out. And the way it's working right now, I'm done with like the rough draft of it. So probably at least 12 months. I'm hoping to publish it in December.
Okay. Do you have a previous book, though, that you've written as well, correct?
I would say that this would mud the waters for this group because unless someone is into autism or horseback riding, it's a very on how to use a horse as a therapeutic tool for autism population.
Okay.
It's a very popular topic right now, but it's, yeah.
I want them to have every opportunity to connect with you because, again, like I said, you are a super brain. And I thank you for the work that you've done and for the opportunity to come here and share that with my brains here on the edge. Brains, come on now. Kick it up. Don't feel that you have to be embarrassed. You have to be ashamed. If you have children that have challenges, do everything that you can and give them every opportunity that's out there to succeed and to thrive in life. It's a challenge for all of us. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio. We have everything, art, entertainment, music, science, finance, great people with PhDs that are devoting their lives to making the world a better place. Thank you so much for coming here on The Edge, Carolina. And if you have anything that you want to talk about in the future, other opportunities, the floor is open to you. You be sure to come back and give us more detailed information when your book is released. I'll be waiting for you, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I love you, brains. Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.